He has plenty of time that time and throws a deep bomb. Cooks trying to run under it, and it's intercepted. Second of the night by Xavien Howard, his fourth in the last two games.
It was that kind of night for Tom Brady and the Patriots. They lost to the Dolphins 27-20 down to Miami, and it was just bad from beginning to end. It's Tuesday, December 12th. I'm Joe Sullivan, sitting in for Chris Gasper, and this is Season Ticket. On days like this, most of us don't know where to turn. Not only be a little groggy from staying up and watching Monday Night Football, but the Patriots lost, and that never happens, right? All right, it does happen occasionally. The team, of course, won't provide any genuine reaction to the loss, and that's why we turn to Ben Volen, the Globe's NFL analyst, for answers. Ben joins us via Skype from Miami. Ben, how still nice in Miami? It was cool, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a little chilly, but not 6 inches of snow. Already on my second coffee of the day, Joe. So, you know, juiced up and ready to talk some Patriots here.
Me too. I'll steal the numbers directly from your story this morning, Ben. The Patriots gained a season low 248 yards. Tom Brady had his first two-interception game in 2 years, and the offense went 0-for-11 on third-down conversions. What went wrong, Ben?
You know, the Patriots' offense was almost non-functional last night, especially the wide receivers, completely shut down. And I think you have to look at the absence of Rob Gronkowski. That was the crux of my column in today's Globe. You know, the Patriots have done a good job over the years of getting by without Edelman when he broke his foot in 2015. They've gotten by without Gronkowski a few times. They even won the Super Bowl without Gronk last year. But they've never gotten by without both of those guys. And the two games this year that they haven't played with either Edelman or Gronk, those have been trouble for the Patriots. Their two lowest point outputs, 19 points against the Bucs back in Week 5, and then 20 points against the Dolphins here on Monday night. Rob Gronkowski is such a big factor. Obviously, we've all seen it, the way he draws two defenders and softens up the defense. And I think if you're the Patriots right now, you're concerned that if you don't have Gronk, you don't have many guys out there that can create separation, can fight for the football. The way I wrote about it today, they have a lot of betas, a lot of really nice complementary pieces. Chris Hogan is great as your number four option. Brandon Cooks is your number three. But when Cooks is your number one and Hogan's your number two, those guys couldn't create any separation last night, and Cooks was dominated by cornerback Xavien Howard. Both interceptions went his way. Cooks couldn't fight for the ball, was 0-for-4 on third down, and then Hogan had one catch for 1 yard. So really, they've got to keep Gronk healthy, and this is probably a good thing that he missed this game. He'll be fresh and ready to go for this all-important Steelers game coming up. But man, do they need to make sure that he's healthy and productive for the playoffs, because this offense really struggles without him.
Yes, Patriots-Steelers Sunday late afternoon, 4:25 kickoff in Pittsburgh this week. Ben, why was the Dolphins' defense so effective?
I think you have to look up front, Joe. The Patriots' offensive line did not have its best game. And I haven't gone back and seen the tape, haven't seen how much the Dolphins blitzed per se and how creative they got up front. But it was pretty clear that Sue and Wake and Godshaw and those guys for the Dolphins up front were giving the Patriots a lot of problems. Tom Brady getting knocked off his spot consistently, not only, you know, having trouble getting the pass off, but how many plays did he just kill where he had to throw it immediately in the ground so he didn't take some big shot from a Dolphins pass rusher? And, you know, the Patriots were getting behind the chains all night, third and long, a lot of penalties setting them back. They went from second and goal at the 1 to second and goal at the 16 there in the fourth quarter. So the Patriots really got handled up front, and it was interesting. They went with Cam Fleming at right tackle over Waddle. Waddle was active, but I guess he's still pretty hobbled right now. But Tooney and Nate Solder again had a tough night, and I just think the Patriots offensive line was not up to par against the Dolphins. Very talented front. And then when you don't have your security blanket like Gronk to soften up the defense, you know, Brady wasn't able to just get the ball out quickly because guys like Cooks and Hogan, they weren't winning their one-on-one matchups on the outside. So when Brady's forced to hold the ball like that, the Dolphins were just getting after him.
After the game, Brady, to me, seemed pretty resigned to just moving on and forgetting about this. Here's a little what he had to say.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. I mean, you can't get any worse than that. So couldn't stay on the field and just didn't make enough plays, and just a bad night, so. We've had a lot of good nights this year, and this was a bad night.
So, Ben, here's one of the things I'm thinking. You and I have had these discussions, and I think you think I'm, I don't know what I'm talking about, but I think he's hurt. And, you know, he can't admit it for several reasons. One, because the Patriots don't admit injuries, and he can't admit that someone under the TB12 method could actually get injured. But I think there's something wrong there. Let's have this discussion now, Ben. Tell me how I'm wrong.
Well, I think you're right about the second part. The whole TB12 mystique is that he never gets hurt, so he can never admit his injuries, and, you know, we all know how that works. I don't disagree with you. I think you're crazy sometimes, Joe, but this is not one of those instances where I think you're crazy. I mean, he's on the injury report with an Achilles.
Right.
And he's on that management schedule now where he's been missing the Wednesday practice the last 3 or 4 weeks. This week he missed Wednesday and Thursday. And I do wonder if missing practice is catching up with him a little bit. Although, again, I think it's mostly related to Gronk. I think if Gronk's in the offense, they do look a lot better. And, yeah, it could be affecting some of his mechanics. That first interception to Brandon Cooks was way underthrown. Maybe his Achilles injury factored into that. I certainly believe that. I just don't – it's not an excuse. It's not anything we should really factor significantly unless – you know, it's a real major injury, because this is a guy who's made a career out of playing through these bumps and bruises that you pick up throughout the season. That's the essence of Tom Brady. And he's one of the toughest football players you'll see in the NFL. You have to cut his right arm off for him to come out of the game. So if he is dealing with some sort of, you know, small leg injury that they have to manage, well, that's the NFL. And you got to get out there. And if you're dressed and starting on Sunday, like, you got to perform. It doesn't matter. Everyone out there is dealing with something. Let's not make that excuse for them.
They would never say it. And one thing Brady is, I guess he's been good at this all the time, but I notice it even more. When he's going to get sacked, he really is like moving away from the contact, going down quickly so he doesn't take the big shots. I think it happened a few times last night. Rather than get creamed, he hits the ground quickly.
Yeah, he bails on the play, or he hits the ground quickly, or he makes sure he lands on his left shoulder.
Yes.
I mean, that's part of the savvy that comes with 18 years in the NFL.
Brady, again, that movement in the pocket, but nowhere to throw it, and he gets dumped by Ndamukong Suh.
After the game, Bill Belichick sounded even more Bill Belichick than normal. Here's what he had to say.
They did a good job tonight. They obviously did a better job than we did. You know, we just weren't really good enough in any area.
Boy, on TV, it looked like he had indigestion, Ben. It's like he just scarfed down 2 pepperoni pizzas from Santarpio's. He was, that's one of the worst press conferences we've seen from him, don't you think?
That was brutal. And I felt bad that I wasn't in there. With the tight deadlines, I just stayed in the press box. Yeah, I should have been there to jump on the grenade and ask him some more questions, because that was brutal. And he deserves like an Oscar. Is that what they give to the movie actors? Like, he's a great actor. Cause I was watching him all night and he was pretty cool and calm on the sideline. He doesn't get too up or down during these games. And he didn't seem to be getting upset at anything about the way of the game. And then all of a sudden he gets into the press conference room and it's, you know, he's got steam shooting out of his nose. And it's just, that's his act. He doesn't want to answer questions about negative performances by his team. And so he just gets all intimidating up there and tries to scare the reporters from asking too many questions. And it works. I mean, there's so much awkward silence and it's intimidating to ask him some of these questions. So it's a smart tactic by him. And you're never going to get anything from him directly after the game. He just doesn't want to deal with it. But hopefully today on his conference call, he'll give a little more insight. Some readers on Twitter are asking, why didn't Rex Burkhead get a carry or even a snap, I think, in the second half? You know, if he's dealing with something, that'd be a big loss or something to really monitor, because he's been a real key piece to that offense.
Yeah, it would most likely be injury would be the most likely reason rather than performance, is what you're saying.
Yeah, he didn't fumble or anything.
Right.
So it would have to be, you know, he's been a little banged up this year, as they all are. And he's the tough between the tackles runner. We've seen him lower his shoulder and get tossed around, especially down at the goal line. And Burkhead is a real versatile weapon for them. 7 touchdowns now on the season. So that's another guy. Boy, Gronk and Burkhead, they got to get those guys to the playoffs and make sure that they're healthy.
So I want to go back to the third down conversions. I did a little research here, Ben. So, I mean, they said on the game last night, the last time the Patriots didn't convert a third down for a whole game was 1991. Hugh Millen was the quarterback that year, and the Patriots finished 6-10. 17 Patriots in 2017 weren't even born yet. So
that makes me feel old. Thank you, Joe.
So with Gronk being out, can the offensive problems on third down can be explained as simply as no Gronk?
I think it's a big part of it. Definitely. The best part about that stat, Joe, is that game in 91 was against the Phoenix Cardinals. So always love a good old school Phoenix Cardinals reference. Uh-huh. I really do. Gronk's their leading receiver on third down. He leads them with 18 catches. 16 of those have gone for a first down. He's averaging about 17 yards per catch on third down. He's a big security blanket. And like I said, even when he's not catching the ball, he draws a linebacker and a safety and just opens up the field for everyone else. So, you know, other guys need to step up, no question. Cooks is, I think, I'm looking squarely at him. 0 for 4 on third down. Brady threw him 8 passes against the Dolphins, only connected on one of them. Also did draw a nice pass interference, but Brandon Cooks has to step up. Deion Lewis, James White, you know, Dwayne Allen continues to be non-existent. And the offensive line, too. Brady, I think, was not having enough time back there in the pocket last night. You have to credit the Dolphins' defense. They have a very good front. They've had that for several years now. They always make Brady's life miserable. So you have to give the Dolphins a lot of credit. This isn't just all about the Patriots. But they were a wounded team last night. And, you know, I think it was disconcerting that without Gronk, they don't have guys. They don't have a scary offense. They really have to kind of grind it out, and they don't have guys who can win too many one-on-one matchups.
I will have more with Ben Volen, including his thoughts on the upcoming game against the Steelers, potentially the Patriots' biggest game of the year. That's right after this. Welcome back. If you like Season Ticket, be sure to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribing is the best way to make sure you get the latest episode as soon as it's available. Back now with Ben Volen. Ben, you mentioned before we went to the break about Brandon Cooks that he doesn't fight for the ball. Can you explain that a little more?
Yeah, he doesn't. When it's kind of like a 50-50 ball and it's him and the cornerback going for it, he's shown time and again this year that he's probably not going to come up with that ball. And I was looking at his third down stats. I think he's caught 5 of 18 passes on third down, and that's telling. He's not a physical wide receiver. We saw it really in week 2 against the Saints when he was going up against Marshawn Lattimore, their first-round pick, rookie cornerback out of Ohio State. And Lattimore completely wiped him out of the game. A bigger physical cornerback. Brandon Cooks just can't fight through the jam at the line of scrimmage and on those, you know, slants across the middle. He has a really difficult time coming up with the ball. You know, even on a deep ball, if it's a jump ball, he's probably not going to come up with it. One catch on 8 passes thrown to him against the Dolphins. You know, you never see that from Gronk or from Julian Edelman. Their catch rate is always in the 60 to 70% at least. Danny Amendola as well, you know, 6 catches on 9 targets last night. To get shut down like that is very troubling. And we heard that from the Saints. I remember speaking to Bobby Hebert, the former quarterback and the Saints radio guy, before the season. He said he never saw any yards after the catch from Brandon Cooks. You know, he can catch the deep one. There's no question. He can split a double team even. And if Brady puts it out there, Cooks will get it. But he doesn't kind of fight for the ball. He doesn't create yards on his own. He never catches a bubble screen and slips a tackle. Like, you know, Deion Lewis, we see him breaking tackles all the time. We never see that from Brandon Cooks. So he's a guy who's a great number 3 option. When you've got Gronk and you know, Rex Burkhead going with the short stuff, and then you can hit Cooks deep, that's a pretty potent offense. But without Gronkowski in there and suddenly Cooks is your number 1 guy, we've seen it now with Xavien Howard and Marshawn Lattimore, these young cornerbacks who are physical. They can completely eliminate Cooks from the game.
Where did Xavien Howard come from, the Dolphins' young cornerback?
Yeah, second-year guy. He was a pretty high pick. I want to say like a second-round guy from Baylor. And I was just listening to radio in Miami, and they were saying, it's, you know, finally he showed his potential. I think they've been expecting and waiting for this kind of performance from him. And awesome job. That interception on the deep ball where he caught up to Cooks and out-jumped him and made – that was an unbelievable interception. And – I mean, if you're wide receivers don't make that catch, let alone cornerbacks. So Xavien Howard certainly got my attention last night, and I think a lot of people's with that big performance on the national stage. And he showed, again, Brandon Cooks, in front of the nation did not come up big for the Patriots.
Did you see the tweet from Larry Zonka, the Dolphins legend, about that interception?
No, what did he say?
He said, man, that was one of the best interceptions I've ever seen. And Larry Zonka has seen a lot of football.
When Zonk says it, you know it's true. I can't believe Larry Zonka is on Twitter.
How about that? Yeah, Larry Zonka underscore 39, which, of course, is the number he wore for the Dolphins when they were one of the best teams in football, undefeated in 72, right?
The Dolphins, they're big on their history. They have a lot of their Wi-Fi password. This was my favorite, Joe. The Wi-Fi password was perfect 72.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so they
Patriot
love
fans will love that, right?
Yeah. Oh my God, it's so petty that I love it. And there were a lot of old timers in aqua jackets back at the game last night. they celebrate their history there. It's because that's all they've had for the last 15 years.
This is probably small bore, but I'm always interested. And as you were raving on Twitter about the refurbished stadium.
Oh, it was awesome. I've covered 100 games there with Dolphins and Marlins over the years when I used to work in South Florida. So this is my first time back, and I couldn't believe it was the same stadium. They, Stephen Ross, Dolphins owner, multi billionaire. So the guy has among the deepest pockets in the NFL, big time New York real estate developer. He tried to get public money for the stadium. It got rejected here in Florida, roundly rejected. And instead of like this guy with the Chargers who just up and moved his team and ripped out the hearts of his fans, Stephen Ross said, okay, we need a renovated stadium. And he plunked down. It was supposed to be $400 million. It ended up being $550 million for a total renovation of the place. I give the Dolphins owner a lot of credit for ponying up the money himself, and you wish more owners would go that route and just pay it for themselves instead of making the public do it.
All right, back to football. We didn't want to bore everyone too much.
Sorry,
I love stadium.
I
love stadium talk myself.
That's a pet peeve of mine, the public fundings thing. So.
Well, and you're, I think it's a good point. So let's project here. The Pittsburgh Steelers coming up on Sunday. Can the Steelers copy this strategy, the winning strategy the Dolphins had last Monday night?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think the Steelers are pretty stout up front. Cam Hayward and Bud Dupree, some of their young pass rushers. This game suddenly looks a lot tougher for the Patriots. The schedule makers did them no favors here. Coming back from a road game, now they have to go on the road again to Pittsburgh on a short week. Like, that's... this is going to challenge them. Of course, the Patriots usually rise to challenges like this. You know, the tougher the situation, they often can overcome it. And getting Gronkowski back will be huge. But, this Ryan Shazier loss, you hate to talk about it in these terms because it's so much bigger than football, what he's going through now.
Explain about him for everyone.
Yeah, Ryan Shazier, the very talented middle linebacker on the Steelers, suffered a scary-looking spinal cord injury last week against the Ravens on a kind of a freak play. He lowered his head on a tackle, and he was laying on the ground for several minutes, wasn't moving his legs. He's been in the hospital. He had some sort of surgery, but there have been a disconcerting lack of updates from the Steelers and from the medical team. And usually when there's good news, you hear all about it. So we just keep Ryan Shazier in our thoughts and prayers and hope that he turns out
so
okay.
So he still could be paralyzed. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. I don't want to say
no one has said that.
Like that. I don't know. But there have not – he wasn't moving his legs, and there hasn't been any mention about him moving his legs. So
that's horrible. So,
yeah, it's awful. It's the really horrible side of this game, and it's why I never, ever blame a player for holding out, for trying to get as much money as he can, like Gronkowski with his business. Good for him and good for these guys, because scary things like that can happen on any play. However, in football terms, he's a great player and a really speedy linebacker who can cover. He's great in the run game. He can blitz. A really great all-around linebacker. And you take him out of that defense, and they've really took a step back. So if the Patriots get Gronk back, and then you factor in Brady has really done a nice job against this defense over the years, I still think the Patriots will it'll be a tight game, and I'm still going to go with the Patriots, but they've got to get these guys healthy for the Steelers game.
And one thing, we did mention here, and it's been overlooked a little bit, when they get back from Pittsburgh, they will have played five of the last six games on the road. That's not easy.
No, I'm sure it's taken a toll on them, especially that long road trip, to Mexico and Colorado. The Buffalo trip was a quick one. This Miami trip was a quick one. They're in and out, and Pittsburgh will be the same way. So they'll get a little bit of sleep. They probably returned home from this one at 5 or 6 in the morning. So this is just a catch up on sleep day for the Patriots. But this is a big challenge, and this is the game of the year. They've got to win this one now. Now that they're one game behind the Steelers, they've got to win this one, and they'll have the head-to-head tiebreaker. But if the Steelers win, they will clearly have the leg up for the number one seed.
Well, Ben will be writing about it all week here on the Globe and Globe.com, and he'll be tweeting about it all week. His handle is at Ben Volen. Ben, thanks so much for coming on Season Ticket.
All right, Joe, thanks for having me, and looking forward to leaving this tropical paradise and coming back home to Boston.
And that's it for this edition of Season Ticket, a production of the Boston Globe and WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. If you've enjoyed the show, please tell a friend and leave us a review. I'm Joe Sullivan, in for Chris Gasper. We'll see you tomorrow.